All right, we're going to be in Genesis tonight, back in Genesis and chapter 27. If you can remember back far enough, going back to a few weeks ago, we started on a little series I entitled Trust the Process, and looking at how God has dealt with and does deal with His children in their lives and how we're to trust the process that comes into our lives. And seeing that, we look through the life of Abraham and how God worked there. And Abraham was not without problems. He had a life full of problems and a lot of issues going on, but he stayed faithful to the Lord and stayed faithful to the process that was going on in his life. Now, we're coming now to the life of Jacob, the descendant of Abraham, you know that, and following through. But we began and started out saying that everything that comes into our lives is twofold. It's for my good and God's glory. We got to remember that. Everything He allows is for my good and His glory. And then we said that people of faith have this incredible ability, we don't understand all of it, but an incredible ability to walk through the dark of this world with infallible accuracy. And if you trust God and follow Him and stay faithful to Him and focused on Him, an infallible accuracy to walk through this dark, the dark of this world, we're trusting the God of everything, our God, and to lead us and direct us in this life. Now, as we see this here, it is possible that we can do this because we are led by the hand of our guide. We know that. And so we went through the process and saw some things with Abram and how that he walked by faith and trusted the Lord and followed Him. Now, Genesis 27 in particular, we're going to see the story here unfolding of Jacob, Esau, and all of those others. Now, not much is said, as you know, in the Bible about Isaac. Isaac was obviously Abraham's son, but he was up on the mount, you know, with Abram on that wonderful example given to us of the sacrifice. And he was there as a willing participant. He had a good spirit about him, all those things. But we don't hear much more about him until we come here and we see some things that are going on and how this comes down. Now, as we come to this, Jacob's life is marked with tremendous difficulty. You know, as he stands there before Pharaoh at the end of his life, what's he say? Pharaoh says, well, how old are you? He says, my life is few days and full of trouble. I've had a lot. Compared to my father's, he says, few days. I haven't lived that long and they've been full of trouble. I've had problem after problem. But he did trust the God of the process in his life. And so we're going to see this here. Now, I won't read the next three or four chapters, but this is the unfolding of that they come in and desirous to bring, Isaac is, that Esau would bring him that sweet venison. And Rebekah sends Jacob in and deceives the father. Again, another wonderful picture that we go off of the word, not feeling. Isaac felt the arm and said, no, the voice is Jacob, but the feel, his arm is of Esau. And we ought to go off the word, coming down, and we see here that he deceives his brother and all the things that come with that and those things. Now, we don't find just a couple things here in Scripture, a lot of negative, if any negative things said about Jacob. Now, people say, well, he was a supplanter. He was a deceiver. Well, he was. That was his name, was supplanter. But God never says anything really negative about Jacob. Jacob was the one that desired the birthright. Esau didn't want it. He could care less, right? He could care less. And he didn't want anything to do with that. And so these things go on and on. And I have a lot here, but I won't read through the whole thing. But not a lot there said about that. But Esau, we know, according to the Scriptures, Hebrews 12 and verse 16 says, Esau was a fornicator, he was a profane person, and he sold his birthright for one piece of bread. Now, that's not a very good human being. He was profane. We use the word profanity today, meaning foul, profane. He was profane. He was a party guy. He drank and did all the things he wasn't supposed to do. He was a fornicator. He was ungodly. He messed around when he shouldn't have been and all of that. And then it says he sold his birthright for one measly piece of bread and soup. A little soup of lentils, a little soup. And it says red pottage. I think that was some red chili soup. I think so. I like that. He sold it for that. And you think about it, he was pleasure, fleshly, and all those things. Deceives Isaac. You know, then he goes on and he's sent then to Laban because of that. He's seeking to run from his problem. Esau basically said, I'm going to kill you if I find you. And he sent then to Laban. Laban, again, you understand and realize Laban is a picture of a worldly individual. He was an evil man. He was. You remember earlier when they came looking for a wife for Isaac, and he saw the servant and all the gold and all the jewelry, and he said, well, come on in. I don't stand out there all night. I see all the fancy stuff you have. His desire and goal was on money and pleasure and materialistic things. So he goes and serves him. You know that for many, many years. He's deceived by Laban and all those things. Let's go to chapter 32. I'm sorry. Chapter 32, I should have told you to go there first. Chapter 32, Jacob goes and he serves, and then he runs from Laban, and he has all these issues. He comes after him, trying to kill him, or necessarily not kill him, but take all of his family and his herds and all those things back, which were rightfully Jacob's, by the way. And he goes on. Now we come to a unique situation here in chapter 32. God has told Jacob to go back home and rectify or get right what he had between his brother. Go back home and handle this before I allow you into the promised land and allow you to come in and be basically my man for the hour. And you can understand Jacob's dilemma. He said, I don't want to. I don't want to. He goes on, he says, and Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. Jacob saw them. He said, this is God's host. He called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob said, thus I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and asses, flocks, men servants, women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight. So now he's sending to Esau. He tells his guys, go send him this gift and send him this letter and tell him, I've come that I might find grace in thy sight. He's coming to meet you. Notice verse 6, and the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, no, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and camels, and he divides them up. They say, Jacob, you don't want to go. Esau's got 400 guys. They're big, they're ugly, they're burly, and they're going to kill us. And Jacob said, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. God brought us back here. Now, he doesn't say that. It says Jacob was afraid and distressed. He got stressed out. You ever get that way? When you go through life and the things happen and you're saying, well, I'm trying to trust the process, Lord. I'm trying to do what you want me to do. Things aren't working out. My brother wants to kill me, as I suspected, but you told me to come back home. You told me to come back and get this right. I'm trying to do what you want me to do. Stresses. And we see here. Now, again, coming back to hearsay, we come back to the word. God said, Jacob, I'm going to put you in the promised land. Trust me. Jacob saw his brother and the 400 men, and he got distressed. We got to come back and rely upon the word of God, not what man says and not what we see, not the things out there. Right? We don't go off sight. We go off fact. We don't go off hearsay. We go off fact. We follow the word of God. This is why God repeatedly reminds Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham of his promises. Says, I promised your fathers. This is what I've given you. Now, notice the circumstances in which Jacob was placed in. First of all, he had to return home. Probably a place he didn't want to come back to. He left it almost 20 years prior. He left out of fear. He left out of family turmoil. He left out of problems galore. His return was under God's direction. And again, when God directs us, we follow. We say, Lord, that looks like a rough road. He says, I know, but that's where I want you to go. Broad is the way that what leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. It's narrow. It looks like a small little narrow pathway, right? Or there's a broad way that everyone's going down. We follow the path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says what? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The latter part says what? He shall direct thy what? Paths. The way you go, the where you walk, the direction you're going. We've got to know which way to go. The path. The pathway that we walk. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It shows me where to go, where to, what direction to look to. Now again, this is why so many people today don't even know where they are. We have 20, 25-year-old people, again, don't even know where they are. Don't know anything, don't know what to do. Teenagers today have no idea what they have been prepared for life. They don't have any idea. They have no idea what God has for their lives. This is why we come back to the Word of God. So he had to return home. Notice, secondly, his brother was announced as coming in wrath to meet him. Now, was that the truth? No. When he finally gets, we're going to read in a minute, to confrontation with Esau, Esau said, "What do you mean by sending me all these gifts? I don't want this stuff. I wanted to meet you. I want to be with you." And it says they run and they hug each other and all those things, and they make reconciliation. But as Jacob saw and his men saw it, they saw him coming in wrath. They saw him coming in an angry way, frustrated, angry. We know all of that. Jacob sends kindness. Jacob sends a message of welcome. Jacob sends a message of apology, only to receive harshness in return, or seeming harshness. Somebody gives you a bad look, dirty look, didn't say hi to you, didn't pat you on the back. Don't take that the wrong way. Make sure you understand. Go to them and make sure. I wanted to make sure of that. There's a lot of things can be misread and misunderstood. But notice the circumstances Jacob was placed in. Jacob had just got done running from Laban, had just got done trying to get away from this ungodly man, had dealt with all these problems, hasn't seen his parents in 20 years. You think this man wanted any of this? This is the last thing he wanted, wasn't it? Trusting the process, following through. His brother, Jacob, sends that to him. Thirdly, he fervently pours out his heart to God. Now notice verse 9. And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return into thy country, to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies, of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." You see the dilemma he's in. God, you said all of these things, but I'm not seeing that. You said you would bless and provide and take care of us. I'm not seeing that now. I'm seeing distress and problems. Esau's going to kill me, kill the kids, kill my wives, all of it, and take everything I have. That's what the normal Christian goes through, the average person. I see what God says, but I don't see that in life. Now we're going to see what happens now. As he comes now through this, notice the mysterious conflict that takes place. The mysterious conflict. As we come, he sends the people away, if you will, and he comes back over, and notice verse 24, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." You might want to underline that in your Bible. Jacob was left alone. The greatest times that you're going to find with the Lord is when you're alone, isn't it? The closer you get to Christ, the lonelier you become, the less friends you'll have, the more acquaintances you'll have, and not so much friendships, but just acquaintances. You get alone with God. And Jacob was rarely alone, as you can imagine, with these wives and all of these children and all of these servants. And it says he got alone. Hosea chapter 12, we just read through that, the book of Hosea. It says that he was, what? He saw the power of God. He saw God. Nowhere in the Bible do we find such an incident in Scripture. A wrestling with what we believe a pre-incarnate Christ. We call a theophany. We never find this in Scripture. We're wrestling with it. Now notice this. How unequal was the conflict? How unequal. He left there, wrestled a man until the breaking of day. Unequal. You're wrestling with God. You're wrestling with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in a bad way, though. He's wrestling with the Lord to obtain an answer to his prayer. And when's the last time we've done that? I've done that. We wrestled with this thing and said, "Lord, I won't go. I won't give up until you answer me, until you give me, until you bless me. Because if I cross over this here tomorrow, Esau's going to kill us all. I'm scared. I'm distressed. By the way, it's okay to tell God you're scared. I'm scared, Lord. I think of Peter in the garden that night. And those soldiers, those servants came up and they said, "Where's Jesus? We're here to take him," and all of that. And they had torches in their hands and swords in their hands. And Peter, just being the normal guy he was scared. And it's fight or flight, right? And Peter said, "I'm not going down like this." And he takes a swing, takes that guy's ear off. He was scared. And sometimes that makes us do some really foolish things. Jacob said, "I'm scared, Lord. I'm distressed. I don't know what to do. And I'm not going to give up and stop praying until you answer me, until you bless me." Oh, how unequal the conflict. And yet how precious and gracious our Lord is, that he would come and just spend time with Jacob in this manner. I say spend time. They wrestled. He wrestled with Jacob for a reason. He was there with us. And how precious and gracious God is to hear my measly prayers and our prayers. And how gracious he is to bless our lives and our children and give us all that we have. People are waking up tomorrow trying to just figure out how they're going to feed the kids. And yet we get to wake up tomorrow with everything we have. We're trying to figure out how to put gas in the vehicle or what we're going to do. We think about this and how gracious God was to come and spend time with Jacob, if you will. That conflict, how unequal it was. And yet, notice secondly, how extended the conflict was till the breaking of day. Now, obviously, we see that. Obviously, it was at least several hours. Thinking through this, how several hours he spent in conflict with the Lord, if you will, in a wrestling match with the Lord, and thinking through that. I mean, you can only put a guy in a headlock for so long. You can only have him in the old chicken wing for only two or three times. And there's only certain things you can do. I can't imagine. I don't know how kind of wrestling match that was. I mean, just for hours and hours and hours. And Jacob probably tried to run away, and he grabbed him a few, slammed him back down. And all those imagery you have in your mind about this. And I hope God lets us see this one day we get to heaven. Lord, could you play back that incident with Jacob? We want to see what went on there. But how unequal the conflict, how extended it was. Several hours spending time with God, spending time. We have major things in our lives that we need to come before God, obviously, and seek him for. And spend more than just several minutes in prayer. More than just 5 minutes. You ever tried to pray for 30 minutes or so? You're trying to come up with stuff. And Lord, help that squeaky door. I need to fix that. And Lord, help that. I'm being funny, but you know, thinking about it, you've got to have spend time with more than just several minutes. Several hours, it says, to the breaking of day. The Bible says before Jesus went to the cross for us, what did he do? He spent all night in prayer. All night in prayer. Asking God to guide and direct, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. Notice, thirdly, how powerful was the conflict. By merely touching the thigh. It doesn't say hit it, slapped it, you know, gave it the old, whatever you call it, you know. He merely touched it, right? Merely touched the thigh. And it says that, I mean, I can't imagine, his thigh, his joint went out. And you've ever had a joint go out? Man, that hurts, doesn't it? I mean, I'm sure Jacob probably cried out, "Oh, let me alone." You ever seen those guys that do pressure point MMA stuff or whatever it is? They can touch it. I saw one guy, man, these guys are, they there's one spot behind the ear, right behind the earlobe, and the guy just fell down to his knees. You know? There's another one right behind the jaw he did, and he would just, you know, do that or whatever, and the guy just fell down. I mean, he's behind the kneecap and the elbow, and there's all these pressure points you can touch. I thought about that, and it says he merely just touched it, and he fell, you can imagine, in pain. But how unequal the conflict. And yet God offers that to us, to spend time with him, to condescend to us, to listen to us and our measly needs, our measly problems, and yet he doesn't see them as measly. How powerful. Yet notice Jacob continues to fight. Verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. He said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." He said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And you think about this now, as he says, I desired you to bless me. And he says, let me go. I won't let you go. I've had enough. He says, no, I won't. He offers the end, the struggle. The end for the struggle. Jacob refuses until he blesses him. The Lord honors Jacob's perseverance. Perseverance. And Jesus gives that great picture in the New Testament of that little old lady coming, or a friend coming, he uses in particular, and knocking at the door of his friend at night, says, let me in. Can I have something to eat? Can I have some bread? And the guy says, no, go away. I'm asleep. The kids are in bed. We don't have to. He comes and knocks again and knocks again. And he says, because of his importunity, because of his continual coming, he answered, okay, yeah, here you go, whatever you need. And that's not the way God, we don't see him like that. He does, oh, well, what do you want now? He says, I want you to come in perseverance, seeking him. And as we go through the process of life, trusting God, boy, it's challenging, but we don't let go. We keep going and saying, God, I've got to have your blessing. I've got to have it. Now, Jacob, as we think about this, if he was going to be God's man, as he would become, and be in the promised land, as he promised, he had to fully know his own weakness, but even more, he must know the true power of God in his life. His own weakness, I can't prevail. His own weakness, and forever, for the rest of his life, you know he walked with a limp because of that. It was just a reminder of his own weakness, and yet the power of God, the God of the Word, that God would bless, God would answer, God would show him true, just as he did to Abraham and to Isaac. The Lord then changes his name from supplanter to prince, to prince. Today, the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, still carry the name, don't they? Till this very day. From supplanter to prince. And it's a great picture for us. It shows us the transition from the preparation, the process here, to the fulfillment by giving him that new name. I'm no more called Jacob, but now I'm called Israel. It's from the transition to the fulfillment. You've made it to this point. One day we'll have a new name written down in glory. We'll go from the transition to the from the process to the fulfillment. We'll spend all of eternity with Christ. But until that day, we focus, we go forward, we trust the process. Now, I was thinking through this here. He was now fully prepared to meet Esau and now prepared to enter the promised land. Verse 29, and Jacob asked him, he said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. He said, wherefore is it that thou ask after my name? And he blessed him there. He knew who he was. He said, you don't need to know my name. You know who I am. You know who I am, Jacob. And Jacob called the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and in the sinew that shrank. Now, just thinking through this, he gives him an everlasting mark, a mark to show him and remind him of what he's done. And it's a good time for us to sit down or pray and ask God to remind us even of those times that he worked in our lives in that special way. Remind me again, Lord, of that, because I've forgotten how you took care of us back then, how you provided when we were pleading with you in that emergency room, how we pleaded with you on that altar, how we pleaded with you for our children, how we did. Remind me, God, of those things, because I need that. And he left them a mark. And he said, I've seen God face to face. I've seen him. The face of God, that place of Peniel, I've seen him. Now, as we see here, he trusts the process. He goes on. Does this end God, Jacob's problems after he's wrestled with God and seen God face to face, seen the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ? In fact, no. As he goes forward and meets Esau and all the wonderful blessings that come, and God answers his prayer, well, the next thing that happens in his life is that his one daughter, Dinah, goes out, and what happens? She's taken advantage of. She's raped. Her brothers get upset, say, well, you going to do something about this, Jacob? Jacob says, well, we got to be careful, this and that. They go out and they kill certain of the men that took advantage of her, did some things, and all these problems that ensue. Not only that, they grow up, and these predominantly most of his sons were ungodly men. They take Joseph, They throw him in the well, sell him into slavery. Just a bunch of problems that Jacob has. And yet he knows the God of the Bible. He knows the God. He knows him and he trusts him. Jacob has an incredible ability in the very next chapter to go forward and meet Esau without fear. He bows himself before Esau. He gives him obeisance and shows him all of that. But he has a prevailing peace in his life because of it. And those that spend time with God, you know that. You have a prevailing peace in your life. So again, what are you going through? What is it in your life that's challenging you as you go through this and trust the process? As you walk through this life, know that you have an ability to get a hold of God and spend time with God and know Him and trust Him. And tell Him, Lord, I'm not going to let You go until I can get an answer. I can receive Your blessing in my life. Receive what You have for me. Oh, how we need that. How we waste so much time. How I waste so much time in not spending proper time with God in prayer and through His Word and in His Word. Oh, how we spend so much time in entertainment, entertaining the kids, letting them watch movie after movie, show after show, and yet not implanting in their little hearts and minds the Word of God. How we spend so much time in nonsense. How much time I spend with non-essential things, and yet implanting into them how they need to get a hold of God and spend time with Him. And Jacob said, Lord, You've got to help me. I'm going through something tomorrow it's life or death. It's life or death. That brook there, the brook Jabbok, Jabbok means wrestle, and it's still there today. It's wrestle. He crossed over that little brook, and he said, God, You've got to help me. You've got to empower me. There's coming a time in all of our lives. Our lives are not over yet. We still have some time left on this earth, and we know it's going to be a few years and full of trouble. There's going to be more problems coming in our lives, isn't there? More issues come, more problems, more difficulties, and we got to get to a place and we come and we say, hey, I'm going to go back to Penuel. I'm going to go back to that place where I saw God. I'm going to go back to Bethel, as Abraham was and Jacob would go to, the house of God. That's where I took those rocks that I had for a pillow and I made it into a pillar for him, a place where I worship God. So we see it. We enjoy the journey, not the destination, as often said, but we ought to come. And we see so many well-intended believers, as I said before, they start out only to fall short, only to fall short. We fall in love with that preparation. We fall in love with God working and guiding us and showing us the way and directing us, and not necessarily just heaven, not just the prize. We press toward the mark for the prize. We keep going, Paul says, and trusting Him. So, wherever you're at tonight, I don't know where you are, but you're trusting the process, allowing God to work in your life, and spend time with Him, emphasizing tonight, get with God, get alone with Him, and turn whatever you need to turn off and get alone with Him, and spend time and say, God, I've got to know Your will. I've got to know what You want me to do. You may not be crossing over a brook tomorrow that you'll face head on, a brother that's scorned and angry and ready to take you out. But you may be facing something similar, something difficult, and you need to get alone with God and not go at it your own. By the way, God allows you to go through the process, never alone. I'm never alone. We sang the song, no, never alone, but with Him, with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the disciples, I'm going away, fellas. They said, well, why? Why do you have to go away? He tells them, if I go away, I cannot go and prepare a place for you. And He says, but don't worry, I'm leaving you the Comforter. He doesn't use the word Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. He says Comforter. I'm leaving you the Comforter, so when you are uncomfortable, you can be comforted by the Comforter. You can be comforted. We need that. And maybe God has you step outside of a little comfort zone for a while so that you can experience and feel the Comforter. Maybe He's had you go through something that you don't like and it's very uncomfortable so that you can experience the Comforter. Maybe He'll allow an Esau into your life the next morning and get you prepared the night before so that you can wrestle with Christ, with the pre-incarnate Christ a little bit. You can wrestle with Him and ask Him, Lord, You've got to bless me. Without Esau, He would have never come to this point, would He? Without Esau, He would have not had this wrestling match where He got to experience the power of God and had His name changed for all of eternity. So I don't know where you are, but I pray you're trusting the process, letting God have His will and His way in your life. All right? Amen. Lord, thank You for tonight. Tonight we can come together around the Word of God. Lord, we can spend time with You. And I know that, Lord, those in here have a long week ahead of them, Lord, and I just pray that you'd please bless them and encourage them and prepare them for this week, Lord. I pray again you keep your protective hand and hedge about all of our lives, especially our children, Lord, and protect their little minds and their hearts from the evil one. And God, I pray for those that are not saved, they'd make sure of that. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we look out and think about all that you're doing in our lives. All of us are going our separate ways tonight. We all have our own issues. We all have our own problems we have to deal with. And yet, Lord, we have a God who's enabling us to walk through life with infallible accuracy because we are led by the hand of our guide who knows the way through the wilderness. Lord, help us to remember that what comes our way is for our good and for your glory. And I pray that all that we do, all that we say, all that we are part of would bring glory again to your name. Thank you for a wonderful picture in the Word of God tonight we could see in this process. We love and thank you again. In Jesus' name we do pray and amen. Amen. Thank you.